Hi, welcome to Shrink Wrapped. I'm Allison Colarossi here with Dr. David Colarossi, and we are here for a special episode of Shrink Wrapped because we did a collab with Corey and Carly from the Surviving Sister Wives podcast, and we had a really fun time discussing our mutual passion, Sister Wives, together.
So this is a two-parter. Corey and Carly uploaded part one on their podcast. So if you want to listen to that, go do the Surviving Sister Wives pod. And then if you want to listen to the second half, that's here. So go away, listen to the first half, and then quickly return to listen to part two here.
I had a blast.
They were fun.
Any of the old episodes where they've been in therapy together?
Yeah, I did it. I think I've watched two with Nancy. The one that I'm like the one that I remember watching in particular, they went to the beach and she took them and they had to go make, I forget what those things are called, the rock pillars.
Yeah, that was.
I think Nancy's a nightmare. Where should we start?
Yes, that's where we're going.
I'm
glad you're already there.
We're steering that way.
Why do you think that family therapy was so unproductive for them? Because we saw them in therapy quite a bit. Now it was on camera, which that's a whole other question of how productive can therapy be when it's being filmed. Especially when one of you is a narcissist and wants to present yourself to the world a certain way. So let's start there.
So I mean, to me, there's sort of no way. You have to be comfortable being totally vulnerable in front of your therapist. And so I think having a camera there, the whole TLC thing, I think, prevents that. But let's just assume that the cameras weren't there and we just saw what we saw. I guess there's two things I would point to. The first is in family therapy, the therapist's job is to be pretty active as far as moving the conversation so that everybody's voice is shared, so that when somebody is being too dominant or overly directive, they should sort of step in. I mean, it's much more of, I think about it like air traffic control. There's a lot of work that goes into that role as a family therapist. And my sense for Nancy is that she doesn't intervene, and she'll let Cody say sort of ridiculous things or have ridiculous expectations or take over the conversation. And there's never any intervention at all to control it. Like the example I'm thinking of in my mind is, do you remember when, I think it was one of the look back episodes, they have them all, she says, get here on this patio or something and position yourselves how you think things should be. Mm-hmm. And Cody's holding Robin's hand to start. And then everybody's trying to get around him. And Cody's like, no, I shouldn't be the center. And Nancy's just sitting there, you know, smoking a cigarette in the background, doing nothing. Right? Like a good therapist would have said, Cody, why are you holding Robin's hand? How does this family work if it's going to be functional? Where should Cody be? Let's all talk. Let's me, Nancy, share my perspective. Like, it's an active position. You're not just collecting a paycheck in the corner while you let chaos happen.
Yeah. Right. Cause yeah.
She well, the other, observed
the
a lot.
The other thing that you always say with marriage and family therapy is like, you really like marriage and family therapy. That should be one therapist, but you should have an individual therapist that isn't related. And so that it's like an unethical thing. You've said that from the beginning with them.
Yes.
To do that.
100. Yeah. Yeah. If we were going to, from a sort of best practices standpoint, you don't want to, I mean, you can imagine if you guys were going to couples counseling, but you knew that Carly was talking to the therapist twice as often, right? You'd be like, wait a second, the therapist is going to side with her because there's a pre-existing relationship here. Mm-hmm. So the idea that Cody's like, well, Nancy's my buddy, so let's do family therapy is a, like Nancy should say, I can't be the one because I work with Cody or because I work with Janelle or whatever, but.
Oh man, you should have seen their other therapist before. If you thought that Cody was buddy-buddy with Nancy, he doesn't really like Nancy that much. He likes Pat. Pat was their original family therapist in Utah.
Who just let him skate on everything.
Hold on, is Pat the one that did the rocks?
No.
The
rock stacking? Those were all Nancy.
That was Nancy still.
That's Nancy.
And I get what you're saying, though, where that is, I guess I could understand from their perspective where they're like, oh, well, we're all married and we're all a family, so it needs to be the same. I'm sure that was Cody's train of thought for, oh, let's just have Nancy do all of these. But that was their first time working with Nancy too, is the other awkward thing. So I'm sure Nancy
that
was
exercise.
That exercise of where do you place yourself in relation to Cody and in relation to the family. So that was the first thing that they did together, at least on camera.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that.
So that was that was their first time working together. So I'm sure, I don't know if Nancy was just like, what the hell's going on? Or like, I mean, she didn't really interject more later on either. So I don't think it was like she's warming up or getting a read on these people. Janelle was actively saying a lot of things of like, I think Cody should be in the middle because this, 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 and this. And she was listing things off. And then it was just kind of like, eh, that's great, Janelle. Why don't you go work on something else over there?
They just circled each other for a while in confusion.
We came up with a pretty interesting theory on the last one where it was that it was the Cody in the middle where he would spin counterclockwise and then all the wives would go clockwise around him in a counter fashion. So then that way it would be like kind of a movement and emotion thing. It's a moving dynamic that's happening between all of them. And we wanted to get your take on that because we figured that a therapist would throw us out if we were trying to go.
That's
with that.
What we came
if
up.
That
with.
Was what we came up with in that moment. They'd be like, I don't think we should.
It's
work
a
together.
Wonderful visual. I mean, that's a good, you know, something to capture his imagination. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Okay.
I will say that because I think it's easy for me to sit back and watch a therapist and be like, that's not how I would do it, right? Because I haven't seen the whole session, and an argument could be made for the therapist should let them work it out. You know, the therapist should observe, but what TLC shows, at least every time I've watched it, there's zero therapeutic intervention. They just watch sort of a shit show happen and then go like. And there's never any critical feedback for Cody at all, ever.
How much did you get training did you get with polygamy?
Zero training. Zero.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know. It's not the norm, but I wonder if there's like a lack of experience in marriage and family therapy with polygamy.
Are you trying to say that I'm...
Not you.
I'm just kidding. What are you saying?
The field in general.
I mean, like certain physicians, they like, you know, get maybe like a weekend on asthma, but like they should probably get like a lot more, or like a weekend on, like there's those people that do liposuction that just like a weekend course, but they should probably, you know, like you should probably have more than that.
A certification in polygamy. Yeah. Like, you know.
Maybe like you need like a whole 6 weeks.
Of course.
All those different dynamics.
I don't think there's a lot of research on polygamy.
Yeah.
Well, the anthropologists have some. Yeah. From what was that, season 6?
I don't remember that. I was right back in there. The day season in Vegas. 6, season 8.
Yeah, the anthropologists came through. They have some notes, probably.
They have some notes.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
The rock exercise, though, that's a good example of where I don't think that Nancy intervened at all, where they spent the whole time, Christine and Cody, arguing over how they were going to make the structure. Because if I remember correctly, the whole idea was to build a rock structure that represented their relationship. And Cody went straight to making it about the family.
He was looking for 20 rocks because it needed to be about the bigger family. And Christine's whole thing was like, no, man, this is our relationship that we're working on here.
Which I think is like an indication of how early on there really was no relationship between Cody and Christine, at least like on the level between just the two of them, because he was even uncomfortable to make it just about them in that exercise. It had to be about everyone.
And he again, can't make any diagnoses. His behavior in that episode looked a lot like ADHD.
So he was
locked in. He was locked in on, I'm going to build this, whatever it was, a house or what, it was 20 rocks and it was going to be some kind of fort he was going to build.
Yep.
And I mean, it's like Christine's like running around me like, can we talk about this? Is not what I want. Why? And he's like, yeah. I got 19 pieces. I got to find the last. And he couldn't. He was just hyper focused on it and sort of frenetically running around, which I think there's a lot that makes him in zero awareness of it, right? And no one's stepping in to give him the feedback. Christine is sitting there in this, again, like every, like we've talked about, this uber deferential position. I think you're right. They didn't have a relationship really. And she's just sort of acquiescing, but at least like verbalizing, like, hey, she was pretty explicit. This is not what I want.
They did get that moment.
And he could not be pulled.
Where Nancy sat them down and explained it. And then Cody, it did click in the therapy session afterwards, where then he was like, maybe that wasn't the test. Because he thought the test was like, oh, build the rocks. And so he went to grab rocks. And then it clicked. So like, what was this, 2 weeks later in a conversation for another hour about like, do you think that was what the exercise was about? Or like, what do we think could have been the subtext of activity that we were doing?
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like therapy couldn't work in that dynamic because like he only gets really his spokespeople wives, like their spokespeople. He doesn't get like he only gets the best of them. He gets them every, you know, third or fourth day. And so they're always going to put their best foot forward for him. And they like, if he comes and complains and is like, hey, Janelle won't do this in the sack, like Robin will be like, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Like, Janelle like lives in a little tiny house. So then Robin buys like a big mansion because they're all kind of like, well, I'll be that one that he wants. And so I feel like just can't work. And then he says he never talks smack about the other ones, but then they all, like, he does. He lies about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
There's lots of evidence.
All the time.
Of the smack talking going down.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And I mean, caught him in plenty of things, even just on camera. It's amazing how much this guy will talk and then just not realize that any of it's documented. And it's like, dude, it's all here, man. We've seen it. I watched it happen. You told me.
Do you want to talk about like his personality changing quite significantly over the past few seasons and like maybe how that plays into narcissism? Because our theory is that like maybe that was narcissistic collapse that we watched happen play out on television over the past few seasons.
So there was the Biggie Housey discussion. So it was, they were trying to build one big house for everybody in Flagstaff on Coyote Pass. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back necessarily.
I think it was the start of it. It was like
the start.
And again, armchair, but like one narcissistic injury. And then Christine leaving is another one. And then Janelle, and then Mary. And it was just like, all too much. And his sense of self imploded. And we watched it happen on television. Thoughts on that?
Same, like narcissistic collapse. Well, I know. I haven't heard that term. But that's
say more about, can you say more about narcissistic collapse? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, let me see. I thought
we
I
had
saved
notes.
This down.
We have Hold notes.
Hold on. I have notes.
Yeah, what do you mean? But I don't disagree. I just make sure I'm thinking of it the same way you
100%.
Are.
100%. There's a stage. So, there's a stage in NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, where it would be determined as a collapse, where it's almost like the narcissist is spending so much time with the masking and you're putting on the front. You have this public image, and then there's the real version that stays hidden. And then after a while, you start to have that dissonance where then it kind of breaks through that mold. So then your actual self starts coming through on your public persona, and the mask is slipping or cracking in different ways that they're explaining it.
So I've got, here's a list of signs of narcissistic collapse. Impulsive behaviors, depression, gaslighting others, mental breakdowns, anger outbursts and rage, smearing someone's reputation, self-harm behaviors, making accusations, intense anxiety, stonewalling others, and suddenly ending relationships.
So I have a lot of thoughts. So what's the source for that?
Mm. Oh, I have no idea. That was a picture I Googled.
Okay. All right. So here's the
we're very professional. on the podcast, by the way.
No.
And our research, our years of research that goes into these.
No. Here's why. Not that I disagree with it. So here's what I'm thinking about is when you think about personality disorders, there's a lot of, these are cluster B disorders. There's a lot of overlap from, you know, narcissism to, you know, borderline personality disorder. And what you just described sounded more on the borderline side of it. And there's oftentimes there is overlap. You know, borderline, there's usually more trauma in the background. There's just sort of different things that sort of move through those different diagnoses or to meet the criteria. But what I would say is narcissism in particular, I think this is what that comes from a deep insecurity. But I, at least the way I think about it, and maybe people might disagree with me, is I don't think that narcissism is a deliberate effort at being selfish. And when what you were just reading there, and I think a lot of times when I hear people talk about narcissism, like the idea of masking, is as though it's an intentional mask.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a narcissist, so I'm going to fool you, or I'm going to gaslight you, or I'm going to do these things because I'm devious in some way. And I would argue that for a narcissist, it's not that there's devious intent. It's that they are so deeply insecure, or they've gotten so much messaging for so long that they, you know, they need to view the world in this way to protect their insecurities, or who, you know, they've gotten so much messaging that they're not enough or whatever, that they move through the world in this kind of caustic way. But it's not like, it's not an intentional effort. It's a lack of awareness, which I would say is different than someone who's an asshole or somebody who is selfish or somebody. So I don't think that Cody believes he's as big an asshole as we see him to be. I think he thinks he's done a very good job of holding the family together. He's been a wonderful husband, and these women are really shitty sister wives, and they haven't done the job. They haven't done a good job, and they have screwed him. And so he's pissed that they've screwed him, because I think he thinks he's special and he deserves this idyllic, you know, life as the, you know, the head of this glorious family that everybody sees. Like, that's to me, I think. And so I think he's angry that that's been destroyed. But what you were describing makes me feel like the insecurity is out for all to see. And mm-hmm. I think he still thinks he's special.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So I don't know that, I guess that's, I'm not sure if I'm describing it well, but
yeah.
I would still say he is wearing the mask still.
Mm-hmm. His version of events definitely back that up. Like he still seems deluded in his belief that he has done everything that was expected of him and that mm-hmm. he has no deficiencies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he's very resentful. So I think maybe you're right with the, maybe I'm going to have to sort of talk myself through the term. I think he's had his worldview definitely questioned, and he's had to sort of adjust to survive. And I think there are moments when you see that injury that leads him to be, you know, when he's injured, that's when he becomes sort of like an overt a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I don't think he's collapsed as I'm talking through this. That's what I would argue. I think he's still believes he's special and more important than everybody else.
Well, do you think that Cody, I have the belief that Cody is terrified of self-discovery, that he has an avoidance to any sort of emotional work, emotional investment in himself or in anybody around him in his family? Because I think that was one of the main factors for me that I was seeing as far as being an emotionally immature person and kind of pointing to that sort of level of interaction with other people in the family. I think what we see with Cody and Robin specifically, though, is that there's what appears to be on the surface level an emotional intimacy between them, but it's not actually intimacy. It's more of like an enmeshment that happens between them where there's like a codependency, and it's not on the basis where actual emotional
intimacy and vulnerability, which is what the other wives were saying. Hey, I want that with you. You have that with Robin, but that's what I want too. Why can't you give me that? And that maybe there's a misinterpretation of what that relationship really is between Cody and Robin.
I think I totally agree with you. So I would say that the, in jumping, I feel like I'm talking over you. So do you have a thought before I jump in again?
No, jump in. I do have a thought, but jump in.
So I think that if you think about the diagnosis of narcissism, and I've given this example before on our YouTube channel, when I was in school, like getting my master's degree, I was doing group therapy. And there were, you know, there's a bunch of people in there. There's the place I was working at was for people that had, you know, pervasive mental illness. And it's a pretty intense group. Some woman comes to the group, and I think she's in her 70s, and she pulls out of her fanny pack this wrinkled piece of paper and starts crying. And it's an adoption paper. She'd given her daughter up for adoption 40 years prior. And she was like, I want to see before I die, I want to see if I can find the daughter that I adopted. And this is all I have is like the receipt from giving her away. And she's like weeping. Everybody in the group is crying. And I'm thinking, this therapy thing is real. This is really intense. And then there's this woman across the group who interrupts and she goes, I don't get it. I was just as poor as you. And I raised two kids. No problem. Why would you give your daughter up for adoption? And it was like this really discordant. Well, did you see those balloons just go?
And it was very impeccable timing. Always, impeccable that happens timing.
Always at the most awkward moment.
I was like, this is a really weird decision for her to interrupt and say that like, how could she? Right. And after the group ended, the psychologist that was running the group with me, who was far more experienced, says that's narcissism. She's not trying to be a jerk. She's not mean. She simply doesn't get that there's a world outside of her. And so I think it comes from deep insecurity. And I think you're absolutely right that he does not want to be pushed in a way that makes himself reflect. And I think you're absolutely right that Robin doesn't push him. All the other women, I think, push him and make him uncomfortable, and I think it's an unconscious sort of like, I don't want anything to do with somebody making me self-reflect, because I don't even believe that there's you out there. I don't believe there's any more to the world than what I see. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So he only wants someone that speaks, Cody.
Right.
Oh, exactly. Like
Robin, have to.
I do want to talk about that a little bit. And where was I going with that? With Robin and her sense of loyalty and her, I don't know if you know much about her background and her first marriage and the fact that she has said that it was abusive, and we don't really know all the details of that. But our thought is that perhaps like what we see as manipulation and then this dedication to loyalty and, you know, listening, following everything Cody puts out there, that maybe that's a learned survival tactic. If that was indeed where she has come from.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I'm just curious. Like, so she was like, what's confusing is she was married to like Janelle's brother or something, right? Or
that Janelle was married to Cody's brother.
Mary's brother.
Okay.
Got there. Janelle was married to Mary's brother.
And she was able to break that covenant. But like, all these people got divorces and those covenants didn't count. And then when they go back with Cody, it counts. Like, you cannot break that covenant, which is very confusing to me. But I do think, you know, if she was in fact in an abusive relationship, and you know, that your observation of her having this coping mechanism of being sweet and, you know, always being deferential to her husband that makes a lot of sense. What do you think?
I don't know enough about that other relationship to know what the dynamic was, but you know, I think that, you know, it's like you ever hear about how you have like, you know, two drug addicts that will be in a long, healthy relationship with each other and somehow it works out. And the reason why it works out is that they both allow each other to get away with their shit. There's not any pushing or, hey, there's a problem, hey, stop using. I think it can be the same thing in a family like this, where you have Robin that doesn't, you know, he doesn't push on her for whatever sort of she brings to the table that's a problem. He doesn't push on her for how she interacts with the other wives, or doesn't push on her for expecting more, or doesn't, right? And she doesn't push on him for being self-centered, or doesn't push on him for being a jerk, or, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if, but I don't know enough about the relationship to say exactly what those things are, but I can imagine that she puts up with a lot. I think he's probably, even for her, I think he's hard to live with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think he's.
But do you think, so after she left her husband, she was kind of destitute. She was like in debt, and she had these three kids. And then, like, somehow she maneuvered where she was the only legal wife that, you know, and so I feel like maybe she's smarter than we give her credit for, because she maneuvered every other wife and all the other kids out of the equation, like out of the legal equation.
It was very Games of Thrones.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, Cody makes it sound like she was on the sort of, you know, I don't know what you call it. She was like on the market as an available sister wife for all of the local polygamists.
Cap in hand.
And he was really excited that he was able to select her and pay for her.
She was a Diesel Jeans model.
Diesel Jeans, yeah. She was this hot Diesel Jeans model.
Then, oh, yeah. She had plenty of suitors, options available to her. She made that abundantly clear. Has to remind us on that, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that she does have She's to remind us. But it's just interesting, like, why did he have to divorce Mary to adopt the other kids?
From a legal... Why?
Yeah, is that true from a legal standpoint? Do you have to be married to adopt children?
No. No.
That I haven't even looked into from the state of Nevada and what they require for that. But
back in 1 second. Hold on one second. You guys keep talking.
Yeah, sorry. Our kids are coming home from jujitsu.
Oh, awesome. Man, that's the second reference to jujitsu in the past 2 days, too, I think, that we just had. We just watched an episode of something on YouTube where they were very into jujitsu as well. Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like it was weird. Like, he maneuvered all his wives into thinking that he had to, like, none of the other ones were married to him, but they got health insurance.
I don't think they did.
Most of them didn't. Yeah. He wasn't paying for it. But I think.
Oh, really? So, like, why did. So, does that. So now it's even weirder, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were a few instances where. So Janelle's marriage to Mary's brother, that was a monogamous marriage, and so that was a legal marriage. So when she divorced. And then Robin's marriage was a legal marriage in her first marriage, and that was a monogamous relationship as well. So those were both monogamous situations that were ended in divorce. But it was strange that, especially in this past season, where Janelle, like, can't wrap her mind around the concept of a marriage ending. And it's like, well, I mean, I get it. It's polygamy, and it is different.
Stupid or liar, Janelle.
But okay. Like, you gotta, yeah, pick a direction, and you gotta stick with it here.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
I think.
Well, I wonder if. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say the lead up to the legal divorce between Mary and Cody. Now Mary has told us that, you know, the relationship between her and Cody was bad prior to the legal divorce. And what we've theorized is that she thought that that was a way to get back into his good graces, to give up their legal marriage so that then he could marry Robin and adopt the kids, which backfired on her.
In the long run.
Because, yeah. Like, if
well, she brought Robin in.
Yeah, yeah, she did. She was the sister wives hunter. All of them.
She recruited everybody.
They were all friends with her before they joined the family.
Well, that was the other joke, is that that's how Mary gets friends. She finds somebody that she likes, and then she has them marry Cody. And so that was kind of how she operated for a little while there.
And then they were quickly not her friends anymore.
And then it was not so good.
This is an inappropriate comparison, but it's the same kind of this, and not in a bad way. This is going to sound bad. I'm trying to think of how to say this so it doesn't sound bad, but it's the same sort of mechanism, maybe, as Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh yeah,
with Epstein, right? Like, not that the obviously it's a different situation, but the idea of how do I get this guy to this guy who I, whose affection I really want, how do I, and I will do whatever it takes, even really atrocious things or even things I don't want, in an effort to earn his favor. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and the, you know, the background with Ghislaine was, you know, she sort of grew up being super deferential to her father, super deferential to men. And I wonder if the same kind of dynamic here for Mary is that she was always deferential to Cody and he wasn't giving her any affection. And that's the way to earn his, yeah. You know.
R. Kelly too. Are you, have you guys watched R. Kelly's documentary?
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I have
similar.
Not
yes. What happened? It's the same thing.
Did he have like, a woman that was doing that?
Yeah. They would just like have their friends come over and like they knew. And then the other one, I'm reading the book of Hugh Hefner's wife. Same thing. And then they're all in the house together and they're all kind of mean to each other, but it's the same. It's like you don't want to leave Hefner's side to go to the bathroom because then like you're not spending enough time with him. And they all have this. How do these dudes do it?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds really sick and I'm really, and then I'm also like, how'd they work that out?
What are your thoughts on Robin and like the only time that we ever see her have like a visceral reaction to a clip is when she's watching herself cry?
So this has happened multiple times. This has happened in the tell-alls. This has happened on the talkbacks, the lookbacks.
She is deadpan when she watches everything else. But then when it's a clip of watching herself crying, she loses it.
You are, I'm so impressed with you, with you too. Like you're very, I miss so much.
Well, like she is so obnoxious when she cries too, but like, can you get, when you say visceral reaction, like she starts like hyperventilating and
she
crying,
starts
or
to
like,
cringe. She starts to act like she's about to cry. The like only, the tears are coming. She starts to like, yeah, almost like start to hyperventilate, just get overwhelmed.
Or the instances where she actually does cry are in response to when she sees herself fake crying in whatever clip they're showing. Like that was real enough for her to like send her over the edge in this moment.
Well, maybe because she is like a narcissist. So like you're bringing it back up to her. So like the,
I think, I don't know. I mean, my first reaction is again, I still don't know where she lands on the EQ scale. Mm-hmm. And part of me feels like she is just, you know, she is the smartest of all of us. And she's just, you know, playing everybody. Or there's times when she talks and I'm like, you are missing. How do you like, how do you miss so much? And
I just want to be on the floor.
Yeah.
Like what?
But I wonder if when she sees herself cry, if it's like a very clear message to her, this is when you should be emotional right now. Like it's a, you can't miss that signal that this is when crying is appropriate. So she does it again. You know what I mean? Like
that's interesting.
I wonder if it's just like, she just doesn't, it's like the applause light when you go to a live taping of a TV show.
Like crying the one we had. Yeah. Laugh. Yeah. No.
It is interesting because she really just isn't reacting to pretty much anything. Like if you watch all the tell-all clips, like she's just staring to the point where we were like, is she like on a benzo or something? Like she's really got like,
oh, interesting.
Like just, yeah, nothing. And then as soon as it comes back to her and she's watching herself, that's when she becomes emotional.
Interesting.
Well, like
something to look out for.
A couple things. She recently, they showed a clip of her when they're planning Maddie's wedding and they show her face. Did you guys see that clip where like they're like, we don't even know what a wedding's all about and blah, blah, blah. And Robin was like, what? Like, we did my wedding. So when it's about her, she understands. I feel like I did hear this morning that my sister wife's closet has been inactive. But did you know that someone put $500,000 into it? And I think, was it you guys talking about it on your show?
Oh, I was going to say, we didn't put $500,000 into it. If that, no, that wasn't us.
I was listening. And that, like, they got, and they were, it must, I think it was your show, whereas the one of the Facebook audience was like, we were order number this.
Oh,
maybe it wasn't your
there
show.
There were a few.
Maybe it was another Sister Wives fan
show.
Yeah, it
might have been a few. But like there.
That's crazy though. Did somebody, somebody attempted to make a purchase for that much money?
Someone made a purchase and got their order number. Oh and God. Then took it, decided, wanted to know like what the quality was and took it to a pawn shop. And they estimated it was four times. Like they upcharged four times what it was worth.
Yeah. I think, Jody and Amanda, we did a crossover with them. So they're on We Love to Hate Everything. And somebody from their group had purchased something from My Sister Wife's Closet and it was shipped there. And they did get it appraised. And the appraiser was like, how much did you pay for this? It was yeah, definitely overpriced for what it was. But that website, yeah, it used to be, it was just, you know, an alert basically when it came up that says, hey, sorry, site's under construction. We'll be back later. Subscribe to the blog. I guess Robin was running a blog at one point or something, but that's how long the website's been inactive, is that they're talking about subscribing to a blog. There were back ways in though, through like the Google images on the page where it would drop you to like the purchase options where you could still put stuff in your cart. You could see the price that was $75 crossed out. It's on sale for $75 because they didn't discount anything, but they just put the line through it. So it was just different weird things that were going on with the website that wasn't being maintained. But people were still buying stuff and getting in there from backdoor ways into the web pages. Or if you knew the actual address of the other pages that you could find, you know, slash store at the end of it or something like that, it would drop you to that page instead.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because like Janelle and the other Sister Wives were like against My Sister Wives Closet. And like, it came out that the conversion rate was so low, but they still kept putting money into it. And it was like, they think like maybe a total of 500 sales over 10 years or something.
When they talked about that, there was an episode where they launched the website and they were watching with bated breath of how many people are on the website. Wow, there's so many people on the website. And then it was like, how many sales, how many purchases are being made on the website? Not too many. So it was very, very, very dismal numbers when it came to that.
Very bad business venture.
Not great. Not great.
My Sister Wife's Closet. What a horrible name. Anyway.
A horrible concept.
So what do you think's good? How do you think the kids' situation's going to resolve with Cody? Do you think like those boys are coming back? They want a dad.
I don't think Cody will ever admit to anything that he did in the situation. So either they're going to have to do what he wants, which is just pretend it never happened and move forward. Well, apologize first, even though he says he doesn't want one. He does. Then pretend for sure. That he never did anything to wrong them and just move on.
It's going to be a lot of the path that Garrison's going right now, because Janelle had mentioned that there's not much of a relationship between her kids and Cody right now. And Garrison kind of has a little bit, and it's probably just surface level chit chat stuff. They're not really talking about anything too serious. It's probably going to be a lot of gray rocking. That's probably what a lot of the
future. How they have a relationship with him.
That's how you're going to be able to maintain that. You're not going to have a deep relationship with this man because he's not available. He's not emotionally available to provide that level of relationship to you as a father. Unfortunately, that is the reality.
Yeah. It's sad for, I mean, to have that many kids that he's traumatized, I feel like.
Do you think the same thing is true with Robin's kids when they get older? Like, do you think that you just sort of age out, you know, when you start, just, there's a certain point in every kid's life where they turn around and they go, oh, dad's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen for Robin's kids. Do you think that he'll lose them too?
I think that's part of, Robin has done everything she possibly can to infantilize the older kids. And so,
like the one that got, which one got the ear piercing?
Aurora,
which was a creepy episode. That was creepy.
He went to the ear piercing, but not the surgery.
Well, the ear piercing is scary. That's way scarier than a back surgery.
So gross.
You don't have to be in there for the back surgery.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like maybe it's been delayed enough that they'll have a longer period of time where they're in his good graces. But I actually think we're starting to see that happen already, because there have been a few points where he's mentioned just Ari and Saul, and he has like forgotten that there are three older kids in Robin's house.
Daenerys and Brianna. We were talking about this earlier too, where I think Ari is going to shake up that house. So while things are the way that they are currently, Robin has done a fantastic job of keeping her kids in line and staying within this family system that she's orchestrated of worship Cody, protect Cody at all costs, even at the expense of her children in this household. And whatever you're feeling in that moment doesn't matter. Keep Dad happy. So like, that's what they're going with right now. I don't think Ari is going to subscribe to that. I think Saul can still, he can rock with that. He's going to do that up through adulthood too. Ari, as soon as she's like 12, 13, 14, she's not having it. I don't think she's going to be playing ball with this system. She's going to call things like she sees it. She's going to call things out. She's going to be a truth teller, and they're not going to like that at all.
Did you hear her, like, when she was like five, being like talking about clearly what Robin had told her? Like, they're mad because mommy doesn't go on dates with, like, so bad.
All of that.
She'd been programming. There's footage of her programming dating Aurora and Brianna before she married into the family, about pointing at everybody in the family pictures with the Brown family photo album and saying, who's this? Who's that? And they're like, oh, that's Cody. No, that's Daddy. And so it's like having that level of involvement and shaping and steering to say, hey, this is how you should be thinking about this. I don't think Ari's going to play with that for too long.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen with Mary and Robin? Because I feel like Mary was like kind of at the end being like feeling manipulated by Robin, but I'm curious what you think, if she's going to admit that. And
I think that that's part of why her friend Jen joined the talk back. Was because Jen was there to say things that Mary feels she can't say. And part of that is because I think she is terrified that Cody and Robin will cut her relationship off from their kids. And that's really like the last connection that she has left with anyone in this family who like accepts her and wants to continue to have a relationship with her. So I don't know that she'll be honest about that, because I think she knows it means that's the end of the road as far as having a relationship with all of their kids.
I think she's wised up to it, though. She's recognizing when the manipulation is happening now. Mary has spotted it, and she can see it, and she's staying detached from it, though. She's not letting it affect her in the ways that it used to affect her. So I think Mary will be okay with that. She will not be close to Robin because, again, I don't think Robin has the emotional capacity to have emotional intimacy in a relationship, even in a friendship with Mary. It was enmeshment. That's how everybody in this family gets along, is you align on these specific ideals. And the more closely aligned you are with Cody, the better off you are. Mary used to be. Robin definitely did attach into that, and then they kind of pushed Mary out as a result of that.
I mean, I think there's, in my mind, there's no chance that Mary and Robin. It's interesting. You know, I just don't have as much perspective. I wouldn't have even thought about the. I just would have missed the investment that Mary may or may not have with Robin's kids. In my mind, Mary's out, and I think that I thought the relationship between her and Robin was so broken Robin was clearly misusing her. I thought that Mary was even misusing Rob. There was a sick relationship. I can't imagine that Cody and Robin really ever wanted Mary to hang around for their Christmas dinners or whatever. I just like, she was like the biggest third wheel. And I imagine that she's going to go, you know, back to Parowan and hang out with Jen, who genuinely likes her. And now she's got Amos. Like, I bet you she just.
Yeah.
I think,
what's the relationship with Mary and Leon now? Is it good?
I don't know. I don't have any context to that at all. Do you guys know about that?
They do have, it appears they have visits, and like Mary will go out there to go see Leon and Audrey. So I think they do have a relationship. It's just they don't want to be on camera. So I think we just like won't see that be part of the show, or at least like that's what it seemed like, because they just stopped filming completely pretty much after COVID. But they do seem to have a relationship. I don't know how great it is, because I think that there was a lot of drama in that house for Leon between Mary and Cody. So I wonder like how deep that relationship is, but
yeah,
it doesn't seem like it's like a no contact situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys going to stay in Christine's bed and breakfast in Moab?
No, I saw how expensive it is. People were complaining on Reddit.
I didn't know what this is. Christine has a bed and breakfast?
They got an Airbnb.
They just opened it.
Christine and David. Yeah, they put it on the market.
Yeah, it starts, I guess, like the first bookings are in March, and it's just very expensive. Between like Airbnbs are expensive anyway now with like the cleaning fees, and I guess the prices went up. So it, kind of a weird business move to open an Airbnb at this point in time. But, you know, they don't really have this family a great track history of making
strong businesses.
Strong business decisions. Yeah, so yeah. I guess we'll see how it works out for them. I think it's more of like a place that they want to hang out to. And then they're like, well, we're not using it.
We'll rent it out at a ridiculous surcharge. Yeah. So power to them.
I just got a good idea. Maybe that other couple that you interviewed and us, and we just all go stay in the house in Parowan.
I don't do haunted houses.
Carly doesn't do haunted houses.
And I believe in every fiber of my being that that house is haunted.
She doesn't do the spirits. And you know the spirits are going to come for her too, because they're like, oh, we'll get a reaction out of her. So that's why she's like, not into it.
Great idea. Once the exorcism takes place, you know, then we'll put it on the books.
I think you're right. I mean, that has to be haunted with all those wives.
She said it was that there. One of the rooms is haunted by one of her relatives.
It was a selling point, I guess.
Oh no!
I've been to seeing what it's like.
When we drove, I don't know why. Oh, we were driving to Las Vegas and we had to drive. I remember we couldn't remember the name.
Yeah, this was Allison was very excited.
But I was like, we might be by Parowan.
And this is before I was in the Sister Wives, and I'm like, I do not care.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Especially driving through there, it's like I really don't care. There's nothing here.
Nada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another questionable decision.
Yeah. How did you think David Woolley performed on the wedding episodes?
I thought you were going to say on.
On the wedding
on
night?
On the honeymoon. How do you think he did? Did he hold
it
up?
It sounds like they have a lot
of
chemistry.
Here's what I can tell you. There's no way he kept up with the energy that Christine was bringing during the wedding.
I hope he stretched. I hope he hydrated. Yeah, I hope he's okay. Have we heard from him since the film?
You know, I think we were okay with I don't know. Corey has kind of ripped into David a little bit on our podcast.
There's this disconnect that happens where it's a lot of people in the fandom, when I will voice concern, and that is seen as not approving, as like a disapprove. It's a seal of disapproval. That's not what I'm saying. I'm happy for her. She's happy. That's great. That's awesome. I don't think she was fully out of it. I think that she thinks that she was fully out of this and past it and done with all this. I don't think she's even skimmed the surface of that deep, dark ocean that she is still trying to navigate. And so adding a marriage and another relationship on top of it can probably just either quiet that stuff down and then you don't have to think about it, don't have to address it as much. Or I don't know what the other motive would be here. Obviously, yeah, she likes the guy. I get it. That's great.
It was just very fast.
It was very fast. It was too fast for me. Too fast for me.
I agree with you, and the fandom also was mad at me about this same issue.
Yeah.
I have concerns. Yeah, it's legitimate concerns, and it comes from a place of care.
Concerns.
Yeah. I agree with you. It's far too fast. I recognize that she's, you know, everybody's like, look, she's, you know, she's in her 50s, so she knows what she knows, whatever. It's still fast. And I think that to me, her behavior in the wedding was very immature. Mm-hmm. I thought it was over the top. It's in the way that she's, you know, she has this like giddy, you know, I'm just so excited about getting married to you. And what it's just over this, it's very adolescent, which makes me feel like she's not operating from the maturity of a 50 year old. She's operating from the maturity of somebody who's been with just one guy who mistreated her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, since she was very young.
The realest moment was at the end of part one, when she sat on the floor and just kind of dissociated for a minute there. And it was like, yeah, that's the part. That's what we need to get into. And we need to do about a year of that, of just let this sink in.
Yeah. Right. I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
What, not shotgunning the Natty Ice with all our guests?
go. Michelob Ultras. Yeah, on the party boat.
Lap dances.
The lap dance.
Yeah. Wow. That was wow.
Unexpected.
You can't unsee that.
I cannot believe they, Tony they can't. Kept it in.
Yeah, Tony can't unsee it. That's for sure. It's staying with him.
His daughter also kind of was concerning to us with the speech she gave that David's made it sound daughter. Like she, yeah, David's daughter, that made it sound like she was very excited about the prospect of her dad dating someone who was on a TV show that she watched.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I worry about some of the motives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For never watching the show, allegedly, and not being a fan and not knowing too much, but then also running into the other room when Christine's profile came up and demanding that her dad swipe on that. It's like, well,
yeah.
Which one's true?
Yeah.
It can't both be true.
Yeah. Which is it? Yeah.
It can't both be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
really wish her the best.
Oh, yeah. Wish her the best.
Yeah.
100%. It comes, that's what I have to keep reminding everyone. It comes from a place of care, and I don't wish any bad news bears on Christine or David's marriage at all. Only the best, but I have concerns.
I wish only the best. And I thought the wedding was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, so all the dresses like perfectly worked out. Like someone definitely designed that. That was a designer wedding.
Allison wants to get married on TLC.
Me too, because I want them to
do that. No, I'm talking about you are Allison.
I know. Oh, yeah, me too, yeah.
Yeah.
But just like with whatever budget Christine had, because the other ones, other weddings on this show that we've watched, not so well coordinated.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think we've picked your brains pretty extensively here. I know we threw a lot at you, and for a couple of armchair detective therapists, psychologists that we like to fancy ourselves to be, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us here.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you for having us.
Do you think that maybe if next season is so great, we should come back together?
Oh, yeah.
Should.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there will absolutely be another season, because that's a question we get every time Sister Wives ends. Is this the end?
They're filming.
No.
It's filming.
No.
It's happening.
What? The ratings are too high.
They filming, though? Like everyone with better lives?
That's the plan.
I mean, it's so far behind. We still have to watch McKelty have the twins that we saw at the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh,
we got that to look forward to. We have to meet David. And see David come into the picture. So I think there's a whole lot to go still.
We'll see.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was very nice to meet you.
Yeah,
guys.
Really nice to meet you.
Me too.
It's fun to have people be fans with us.
Right. Yeah. Always, we need to stick together. That's always been our goal from the beginning of this podcast too. Is
that's how you get through
it. That's how we're gonna get through this together.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.